CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, you're tuned into a special edition of Off the Hour. We are focusing today on the case of Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik, who is a Canadian citizen who continues to live within embassy walls in Khartoum, Sudan. The current conservative government has refused to issue a passport to Abu Sufyan to return to the country. Today in Montreal, there's a protest happening as we broadcast at the corner of Barrie and St. Catherine. We're joined now on the line from Ottawa, actually, with Hassan Gardi, who's the executive director on the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Good afternoon, Hassan.
Good afternoon.
Thanks so much for your time. On the case of Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik, maybe from your vantage point, could you speak to his situation within the context of the treatments of Arabs and Muslims in the post-9/11 atmosphere here in the country? We are all familiar with the case of Maher Arar, but we are talking about Canadian citizens. So in the case of Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik, in the case of Maher Arar, I think an obvious question would be, do we have different classes of citizenship here in the country?
Well, thank you again for having me on the show. And to answer your question, I think it's fair to say that many Muslims feel that post 9/11, they are living, as the expression goes, in the shadow of Maher Arar and the unfortunate ordeal with which he went through. In terms of how that impacts the perception, there is a growing perception within the Muslim community that there is that there are two different categories of citizenship, that there are those citizens who are afforded their rights and that there are those that are not. When you compare and contrast the case of Mr. Abdulrazik, who, as you said, has been basically in exile, living in Khartoum, and today marking the one-year anniversary that he's been in the embassy, in the Canadian embassy in Khartoum, with the case of, for example, Brenda Martin, a Canadian citizen who was tried and convicted in a Mexican court, and then subsequently brought back to Canada very, very swiftly after that. The Canadian government went out of its way to bring her back so that she could serve her time here in Canada, versus that of Mr. Abdulrazik, who has never been convicted or tried of any crime, and who appears just to have unsubstantiated allegations continually raised against him, and he's not able to face those in a fair and transparent Canadian judicial process, which he should be able to do in order to know what are the allegations against him. It's mind-boggling that the government appears to now be demonizing him as a national security threat.
Now, it has been commented on that there is, in fact, a fear on behalf of the conservative government of Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik returning to Canada to tell the story of what he experienced in Sudan. What do you think that story is, and why do you think there might be fear in that story being broadcast across the country?
Well, we know for a fact that through documents obtained through access to information that he was in fact detained while he was in Sudan at the request of the Canadian government, and he was interrogated while he was in Sudan by CSIS officials. When we know and we have full knowledge that the Sudanese system is notorious for its human rights abuses, and where Mr. Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik has alleged as well that he was abused and tortured while he was detained. So this is something obviously in light of the allegations and in light of what came to light after the ordeal of Mr. Arar and the cases of the three other men as well. Let's not forget that were highlighted in the Yakubuchi inquiry subsequent to the O'Connor inquiry, the cases of Abdullah al-Malki, Moyed Nuruddin, and Ahmed al-Mati, who all similarly were detained while overseas, subjected to torture, and obviously, following on that, the Canadian government would not want that kind of a story or a similar story to come out.
Last question. You did mention numerous Canadians who face torture abroad. We are having a continued discussion on the issue of torture. The memos were just released in the United States under an order from Barack Obama to detail, in fact, the legalization of practices of torture in the post 9/11 environment on behalf of the United States. Let's talk again about torture and the Canadian context. What is your ideas on the increasing normalization of torture? There was an article today in the Globe and Mail where, in fact, the foreign minister of this country, of Canada, is accusing publicly now of Abdulrazik of having links to Al-Qaeda. This based on information obtained by the American authorities, by the American intelligence authorities, during a torture session with Abu Zubaydah, who was, of course, a famous member of Al-Qaeda. And so Canada is now basing their public allegations on Abdulrazik on information that was obtained during torture. Can you comment on this?
Well, I mean, you know, the government, I believe it was Public Safety Minister Peter Van Loan, insisted that the government did not condone the use of torture under any circumstances, and that if there's any indication that torture has been used, the information is discounted. So clearly this seems to be a flip-flop on the part of the government. We have evidence, and several reputable organizations, including Amnesty International, have recorded time and time again that information obtained under torture is simply not reliable. And in accepting information that has been obtained under torture, what this does is it sends a message that, you know, torture is acceptable, and it creates a marketplace for it, which is just completely against all of the ideals that are enshrined in Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms, as well as in international legislation such as the Geneva Conventions, which Canada has signed on to.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today, Ihsan.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. And for more information, we would direct people to the People's Commission, as well as to CareCan's website. That's carecan.ca.
Thanks so much. Speaking with Ihsan Ghardi, who's the executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relations here in Canada. He was speaking, of course, on the case of Montrealer Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik, who continues to languish in embassy walls, barred from returning to Canada by the conservative government in Ottawa. Abu Sufyan is currently living at the Canadian embassy in Khartoum, Sudan. This is a special edition of Off the Hour focused on the case of Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik,